يلا تريني
Good evening, kings, queens, gods, goddesses, peoples. My name is Kimberly Schneider. I'm that white girl. I'm gonna thank everybody for showing up, for listening. I appreciate you. If you don't already know, I have an amazing guest tonight. I'm gonna not embarrass him with my introduction, even though I want to. His name is Patrick Alexander, and that's what I call him. He is the COF of the Black Liberation Movement out of Mississippi. He's doing some exceptionally phenomenal things and has been for a very long time. And I'm more than happy to introduce him and bring him on the show tonight. What's going on, Patrick Alexander?
What's going on, Kimberly Schneider? Pleasure being on the show. I'm very proud of your efforts that you've gotten this far with your podcast. And that we're able to sit down and have this dialogue today.
And you know that I appreciate you, and I appreciate you being here. I know how valuable your time is. I know how much you're doing, and you know I'm grateful. I'm grateful every day, but I'm exceptionally grateful today. And I'm exceptionally happy about the dialogue. The fact that we've had some before, and you know that is going out there now, so that. You know, we can. We're gonna talk about Black liberation tonight, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And let me say this, Kimberly, before we get started. I don't know what it is with, maybe it's my phone. I don't know. But you went out for a minute there. So at any point in the podcast, if there's a delay in my response, it's probably due to that, but hopefully we won't incur that anymore. But I just lost you for about 15 seconds just then, so just letting you know. Right,
okay, cool. So I will give you a second to respond, and if it falls out again, you know, and if, just so you know, if we get disconnected, I'll send you a new invite to bring you back on.
Okay,
you know,
right,
technology brings challenges.
That's right.
So I did a, you know, an initial podcast kind of who I am. So why don't you, I mean, I know who you are, I know what you're doing, but what's the main thing that you're doing? I mean, what do you want to tell people about who you are, at least, you know, what you're trying to do, or what you are doing, what you are doing right now, for the Black Liberation Movement?
Well, first of all, it would be a waste of time to me to tell people who I am. I'd rather tell people what I am. And what I am is a manifested reality of what our ancestors had as a determination. I feel that all throughout my life, I have embodied the spirit of liberation on behalf of Black people. And I feel that the Black Liberation Movement and what it is that we are ascertaining as a movement to do is the determination of our ancestors manifested today. So what I am is the COF of the Black Liberation Movement. The COF stands for the Chief Organizing Facilitator. We're headquartered out of Mississippi. And our determination is to create and build power for Black people. In the wake of systematic oppression against racism, white supremacy. And for a lot of people, let me say that, Kim, because I just heard myself say that, what I just said. And for a lot of people, that would sound, it may sound aggressive. It may sound, it makes people feel uncomfortable. And I think the only reason that is that people would feel uncomfortable because they understand the narrative of building power. We've heard that narrative played out so much from the mouths of Europeans. And mm-hmm. when Europeans or white people express power, that is done to the detriment of non-white people. And I think at some point in this dialogue, we will get more into detail about that. But when I express the sentiment and the determination for black people to build power, what I'm simply expressing is through historical understanding, this is the only way that I see the suffering of black people in a system of racism and white supremacy to be protected and to survive. Is that we build power. If we don't build power, then we are continuing to subject ourselves to the oppression that we have suffered throughout our relationship in these Americas.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So every time I talk to you, I am, you know, amazed at the words that come out your mouth sometimes, because the brilliance is ridiculous. Mm. And I know that a lot of conversations that we have are about what you are presenting and how I, as a white lady, perceive that and how I'm able to articulate that in a way that most people, you know, that couldn't understand before get some insight. Mm-hmm. We also know that a lot of the times that I do that, most people see white. So, you know, it tends to be a little one-sided, if you will. So let me say this about what you said about what you are, in my short version of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you are living and breathing and verbing, if you will, through your ancestor's spirit. I think everything that came out of your ancestors, every pain, every sorrow, every fight, every death, every murder, every rape, every joy,
mm-hmm.
every happiness, every child, and that you are manifesting that, like you said, in this lifetime. Because although there are so many things that have evolved, mm-hmm. one thing that has stayed steady right now since 1619 is oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the civil rights movement didn't do it. Getting laws changed didn't do it. I think it's evident to both of us. We've talked about it a million times. White people's mindset certainly didn't change.
Mm.
You know, they had the mm-hmm. same mindset always had.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love, I don't know about you, what I would love is for when I say, especially Black Liberation Movement, I don't offend as many people. I think you saying Black Liberation Movement scares folks, you know, and I'm just here to say, as a white lady, I'm not afraid of Black liberation. I'm not afraid of a movement. I'm not afraid of anything that is generated from that. And I say that because I know in my heart of hearts that the Black Liberation Movement is about empowering Black folks and giving back, or I should say, acknowledging the power that you already have within you to create greatness mm-hmm. for your community in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not hating on white folks. It ain't like you coming here saying, I don't like you, white lady. I don't like this white. That's not what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, if that really was the case, I you know, I certainly don't think you'd be having a conversation with me at any level. You know what I'm saying? Think you, like, you know, she didn't to her. So, mm-hmm. You know, I want to say, as far as the movement mm-hmm. goes too, that, you know, it's I don't think it's anything to be afraid of, and I understand that mm-hmm. people are, but mm-hmm. you know, again, mm-hmm. knowing you, being able to talk to you, I just want to say that mm-hmm. it's something that we need to embrace at this point. I feel right. like it's time to embrace the Black Liberation Movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, I definitely want to talk about the difference in, you know, how you feel as far as that goes, since mm-hmm. I put it out there. If my truth matches yours in any way, that, you know, you're about the empowerment and the building and the creating, and has nothing to do with the demise of white folks or the hate of mm-hmm. white folks or any other race for that matter.
Well, let me say this we 10 minutes into this podcast and we didn't got right to basically the point, you know, that people want to hear, even if it's not stated that they want to hear, because we got a very oxymoronic reality that's taking place here. And let me say this, you know, to all the listeners that will be listening, the platform that I stand on, is a sentiment that's understood in the movement, that we don't talk to white people concerning what it is that we do. You know what I'm saying? That's a sentiment that has existed for a long time. So I'm not saying that I don't understand that logic, because it's very understandable when you allow white people to infiltrate anything that you have about building power. Okay, so understand that from the onset of this right here, this is kind of like something that don't happen. Okay, and my stance is which is a new stance, that I chronicle history myself. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have a reservation with white people understanding that black people are gonna build power. Okay, I think in some way it dissipate the energy. Yeah, my phone just rang in, but anyway, I cut it off. When it's done behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying? I think we're living in a day and time right now where this determination of black liberation has to be put on the forefront. And you may say, well, you know, are the black people that's in the black conscious movement arena may say, well, what do you mean? This is what I mean. Everything else of power that influences our children, our future generation, and even us is done openly. Mm-hmm. Openly. You know what I'm saying? Our children are not privy to the backroom black power conversation. And see, the people that's hearing this, I want you to understand that the black power, the black liberation movement is a power building movement, wide open in the public. You know, if we wide open in the public, because everything else is done wide open in the public. So in order to permeate not only the mindset of our children, but permeate the mindset of those who have historically been in opposition of black power, they need to understand too that black power is something that's determined by black people. Wide open. It's wide open. And that's the stance that I have. You know, I would take my shots about this podcast, but I'm perfectly prepared to defend not only myself but this platform with those shots. And let me go on to say this: you yourself, Kim Snyder, I watched you and studied you before I even began to conversate with you. It's a lot of conversation that I didn't have with you just because I was watching you and studying you. Okay, so you don't represent the typical white person. That has been proven to me. Now, a lot of people that's listening to this podcast or that will listen to this podcast, they will not know you in the way that I have come to know you. And a lot of people, regardless of what is said in this podcast, will never trust you. Will never trust you. Understand that. Okay? And also, what I would like to point out too, is that I'm not trying to convince white people of anything. Now, if white people are listening to this podcast, then I hope you learn something. Okay? I talk with many white people throughout my life of pushing for black liberation. And many white people are impressed with the plight of black liberation. A lot of white people that I have come into contact wonder why black people don't adopt black liberation as a collective philosophy and activity and practicality. And a lot of white people tell me all the time that they understand and would like to see a black liberated movement. And they would tell me, well, you know, Patrick, I'm not racist. I see your platform. I'm not racist. Well, this is what I tell what I call good white people. I tell good white people, you may not practice racism, but you are privileged by racism. So it gets to a point where reconciliation talk does not end with an apology. Reconciliation don't come with an apology. It comes with what are you going to do? And a long time ago, I left the idea. I call it civil rights idea of white people appropriating black people in some type of way of building power or, you know, reconciliation. So, you know, my thing and my challenge to white people, because it's not my job to convince white people.
Right.
My job is to build power for black people. And that's what the determination is. So, you know, to the white people that's listening, that has some understanding of what it is that I'm saying, you work on white people. Because we done had people way greater than I am, like the great Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, just to put somebody out there that everybody's familiar with. He petitioned white people. He petitioned white people.
He did.
And he did. What was the response? You know, the good white people maybe heard it, but, you know, what was the response and what was the result? So, you know, at some point in time, you know, black people paradigm got to shift to a more wise and logical approach to this thing. And like I said, I owe it to my ancestors to complete the determination of liberation.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, since you're putting it out there, I'm going to put it out there as well, too. I'm not here to change white folks' mind either, because I came from that mindset. And I've been around hundreds of thousands of white folks, and not just white folks, racist white folks, white supremacist white folks, KKK white folks. And I know enough to know that I've run across some people that may or may not be racist, that are white, but deep down in the depths of their soul, they are generationally programmed to believe that they are better than or more than. And cognitive dissonance is a bitch. I mean, I'm just gonna say that. And there is no point in me trying to alter their generational belief of who they are in retrospect to black folks. And even if I was able to change a few people's minds, at the end of the day, I'm not saying there aren't people like me. I'm hoping that people come out of the woodworks like me. But at the end of the day, white folks, and I say it 100 times to you, they're never gonna do shit for black folks. They not. It's not gonna happen. I mean, that's just not something that there's gonna be a group of white people that come together and say, let's liberate black people. Let's help them. Let's create wealth for them. Let's show them. None of that's going to happen. It's just really never going to happen. All this reparation talks is making me crazy. I don't even think you and I have had a conversation about it, like an in-depth conversation. But, you know, that's part of the problem that exists, is that, you know, the white community, the institutional part of the racism that is institutional racism, that institution part that creates the policy that's in place for everybody to follow, is the one that is petitioning for reparations. And they're going to give them to government entities if they were to ever pass. They're not going to create wealth. They're not going to create abundance. They're not going to give back and make up for or apologize for the murders and rapes and dehumanization of black folks for the last 400 years. There's not enough money in the fucking world to do that. So even if that were to happen, why would that be enough? Because guess what happens after y'all get reparations?
What's that?
The same shit. Because the same institution is in place. The same oppression is in place. And so what's the point of us now dividing ourselves again for yet another distraction about reparations for black liberation? Those two shouldn't even be in the same. Don't bring that up. That's not gonna help. That's not gonna provide. That's not gonna do what black liberation is doing. It's not going to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's the part of the division that we talk about, is that they put these distractions and they divide the black community over and over again. Every time there might be something that could possibly bring everybody together, they they throw something out there. Hey, let's talk about this and let's divide it. So yeah, we need to get reparations. Oh, but she's gonna do it. No, he's gonna do it. Nobody's gonna do it. That's white. Let me just say that again. It's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm here for the same thing you are, which is to maybe not liberate black folks, but liberate some black folks' mind that mm-hmm. have been confused, who don't understand, who mm-hmm. who really don't see or really don't feel, because they're not living in what they consider the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody else that is affiliated with them is, and really so are they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not here to change white folks' mind either. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna be real. I'm not. I'm here to create a dialogue in the black community. Mm-hmm. And I know that's crazy, mm-hmm. but I see from my angle, from mm-hmm. my, you know, insight. And mm-hmm. you know, I did the same for you. I followed you, I watched you, I questioned you, I inboxed you. And I know you was like, you know, we've had this conversation. Like, why is this late? What is she doing? Why is this white lady, mm-hmm. you know, harassing mm-hmm. me? But I needed to know mm-hmm. because I had a burning desire in my soul, you know, to create something mm-hmm. for my children mm-hmm. and for the people that they belong to, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the pivotal point in me understanding your plight. Your children are black, okay? And that makes a lot of difference when it comes to me having a conversation with you as a white woman. That was a pivotal point, mm-hmm. you know, in my dissemination of whether or not to begin to have somewhat of a relationship with this person named Kim Snipes. But anyway, let me bag this up a little bit, because you said some very profound things that I think the people who are listening and that will listen to this podcast should understand from a black liberated perspective, from a black liberated mindset, because we get filled with the mindset of what I call civil rights leaders in the black community, black intellectuals that spun from the civil rights movement, and you know, the aspiration of civil rights for black people. Well, first of all, I want to state that civil rights, to me, the word civil basically means normal. Okay, so when you're talking about fighting for civil rights, you're talking about black people in the wake of racism, white supremacy, fighting for normalcy in a culture that is not their own. Okay, so we seeking to assimilate ourselves after being so systematically beat down into the systematic flow, to assimilate ourselves into the flow of white culture. And so our mind, our thoughts, our desires, our aspirations began to be to basically assimilate with your oppressor. And that's what the civil right determination basically means to me. Now, out of the civil right movement, we have these black intellectuals that will put forth strong cases. And I have read a lot of them as they prepare these cases for reparations. And now the talk is really out there now, pressing the next political candidates to have part of that in their agenda, you know, the reparation talk. And and these black intellectuals seek my brothers and sisters, because I don't separate myself from black people. I don't talk about black people in the third person. That's me too. I'm a part of black people. Right. I think when you talk about something in the third person, then you separate yourself from that, what you're talking about. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I never like that. I'm always interjecting myself, because I'm black and I suffer every downfall or any progress that black people have. I'm part of that too. But these black intellectuals seek to sit at a table of diplomacy with white people to discuss reparations, as though we gonna appeal to a consciousness or a soul or morality of people who have not historically shown us any morality. So what would make us think that they would actually do it now? I think we have adopted some type of expectation that white people as a collective, the ones that have power, you know, that's the difference between good white people and basically the white people who run the white supremacist system. If it is a difference, right. If it is a distinction, the good white people have no power, you know? So right. My thing is, you know, I come to the conclusion, why would white people repair black people when they build a world by tearing us down, okay? I mean, really, really, I want the people who listening to this podcast, white or black, you know, to understand what power is. Mm-hmm. Power is control. The ability to control and change reality. So when we historically look at the relationship between black and white people collectively, I'm not talking about individual relationships, but it can start there. Okay, it can start there. Right. But I'm talking about collectively and how we deal, you know, as right. two people that have been, you know, attached to each other in a master-slave way, in a master-subservient way for so long, mm-hmm. where it has benefited the dominant society for so long, and they have built so mm-hmm. much from tearing you down. Why would we meet at a table of diplomacy and the people who have the power, which is the white people, would actually come to an agreement and say, you know what? I think we should give you power, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the question.
It's never going to happen either. I mean, that's the biggest thing that's never going to happen. And you said it brilliantly, you know, that, you know, when we sit down at this big round table, the only thing we're trying to do is get as many black folks to sit down as possible for the vote. That's all we're doing. That's all that's happening right now. You know what I'm saying? It's all part of the process. It's all part. We didn't vote anybody in. We ain't going to vote the next president in. We didn't vote this president in. You know what I'm saying? And I think the part that needs to be exposed at the deepest level is that this is a system. It has been this way since, you know, the Treaty of Paris, which is fraud. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Here, go ahead and take these 13 colonies. We're going to give them to you. We're going to sign them over to you. They didn't own them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't own them to give them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our whole, you know, system is based on a fraudulent document. And then and it's just created even farther than that. And here we are now. We want to create another fraudulent document, basically, and say, hey, we're gonna create some money, and then we're going to call it reparations, and we're gonna put band-aids on all the bleeding hearts, you know, of black folks who are upset and want something, and maybe that'll, you know, balance out society a little bit better. I mean, I don't know what the real mindset is, but that's just my, you know, thought behind it. You know, it's a band-aid. And you know, if you picture this being that you're gonna sit down at a table, I mean, it would be like, you know, who, what, you know, I can't get nobody's names. I don't have permission, and I don't want to get stuck on political.
Well,
you know, let's just say you sit down.
Yeah, well, I'll state a name. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. But, you know, when we started to talk about reparations, I mean, first of all, you know, the black intellectuals who leading this charge, I'm not saying that this is not a commendable thing to be doing, you know, in the wake of systematic oppression. This is very commendable. It should be some type of discussion that leads to a real action of reparation. That should be. I mean, without a doubt. So I do understand the aspiration, but do we understand, you know, what we really dealing with when we talking about a system of racism, white supremacy, okay? And one of my greatest teachers right now is Dr. Laverne Murphy out of Chicago, of the New Life Movement. And I think he's one of the greatest political minds of our time that a lot of people don't know. And I wish the platform to grow so that he can grow as well in his thoughts. And he began to teach me on this talk about reparations. And he said, Patrick, first of all, we need to frame this thing properly, okay? What do white people owe us? Let's just think about what do white people owe us? When we think about the institution of slavery, you know, we think about the horrors, we think about, you know, the hardship black people faced, But do we think about it in the economic term? You know, most black people, most of my people don't think about it in that terminology. So when we begin to look at the institution of slavery, do we understand as a nation, we talking about the biggest wealth building event in the annals of human history? Do we understand that we talking about the biggest wealth building event in the annals of history? So then what do you owe black people? You know what I'm saying? Not just from the acts of chattel slavery and, you know, for that 250 year period of chattel slavery. I'm talking about when black people, my people, African black people were actually property. Okay. Right. And right. You worked my ancestor from can't see to can't see. Okay. And you barely gave us a sufficient meal to survive on, and we survived on what I call sheer will, okay? And we created this astronomical economic base for this country, okay? Mm-hmm. So what do you owe black people? I'm talking to white people. You see what I'm saying? And you got right. white people so arrogant now, they act as though, well, you can't, you know, this is slavery now. Do you understand that slavery has a residual effect? Negative and positive.
Exactly.
And you are the positive beneficiary, and we are the negative beneficiary. So Dr. Murphy said, what do you owe black people? First of all, let us tell you that you don't have enough fucking money. Okay? You don't have enough fucking money to pay us. Let's start the conversation from there. And I think, you know, that's a lot that, you know, determines things. It's the approach and how we deal with things. We deal with white people from a subservient position. And just from the sheer, all of the historical, I'm searching for a word, all of the historic sacrifices that my people have suffered, I stand here, and this movement stand here, the embodiment of us, of all of that. That's what the Black Liberation Movement did. We want to be the intelligent body that speaks for black people and from a historical standpoint to now. So yeah, when we talking about reparations, let's style this damn thing right. You know what I'm saying? You don't have enough fucking money to pay us. So we'll start talking from there if we gonna have a real conversation about it. Right.
And I think that, I personally think, and I'm sure you'll tell me how you feel, I think that has a lot to do with what the Black Liberation Movement is here to do, which is to really present the truth of it, that the people that are claiming to represent Black folks, I'm not saying they're not, don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying, that are claiming, like you said, it's the cause, it needs to be happening, it needs to be out there. But we need to present the truth of the matter to it. You know, this is the truth of what's really going on with that. You know what I mean? When these people come up and we start fighting about gender in the Black community, this is what's really going on. Let's listen to it at a Black liberation level instead of because who's feeding all of this garbage and all of this talk? I'm not talking about reparation now. I'm just talking about distractions and you know, people getting arrested and, you know, who's safer than the other person and, you know, there's always something out there that causes this huge divide in the Black community. Always. And every single person that begins to dialogue over these distractions forgets the liberation part of it, which is what started it. Who put that shit out there to begin with? White folks? Who's got the dialogue started in the first place? White folks? Where does that come from? Systematic racism, white supremacy, oppression, that mindset, that programming. Why this man is pictured with his family and the kids and he just cut the baby out of her stomach 3 days ago, as opposed to the brother who, you know, killed the dude that raped his damn baby. Well, my mugshot would have been on there too, or would you have been smiling at me because I'd have killed him too. So what the Black liberation is to say, here's the truth. And you know, also say, I mean, to say here, this needs to be what's seen and not this, you know, like it's a magic trick almost, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to get off the podcast too without, I know we get deep off in stuff and we could go all night or at least a few hours, but you know, because I want to stay focused on the Black Liberation Movement specifically, you know, I want to talk about quickly anyway, or at least a little bit about what's going on up in Mississippi with the food and what you're doing and how and what your intention is too, you know. I want people, I know I can't let them see who you are in this podcast, you know, in 35, 45 minutes or an hour. I understand that, but I want people to understand that you're just not up here, because I've had a lot of people lately with me being doing what I'm doing, telling me I'm hanging out with fist pumpers. And I want them to understand that we're just on here talking. When you and I hang up the phone, you way more so than I. You know, right now, this is all I got, this platform, this voice, this is where I'm at. But what you doing, what your intention is, as far as the Black Liberation Movement too, because I think it's important for people to know that you just ain't up here talking, that you actually doing, you're creating, you are active, you the verb, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, let me respond to it. First of all, I say this. knowledge is not power. It's the application of knowledge that creates power. And, you know, for us to, you know, continue the theoretical ideas of Black power, that does us no good. That's just theory. So we have to start to practically applicate and believe that these actions will create what it is that, well, we don't even have to believe once we put it into motion. Belief is in the theory. Part of practical application is the knowing part, okay? So then when we start to practically applicate, that's when we begin to really feel the power that we are generating for ourselves. And that's what Black Liberation is, what we can do for ourselves to create power. So one of the things that the Black Liberation Movement determined that we would do was to start creating what we call a food-based economy. It is of my understanding, my assessment, that no people will liberate themselves on the income that they get from their oppressor. Okay? I'm going to say that again. No people will liberate themselves on the income that they receive from their societal oppressor. Okay? So, you know, people who have power control resources. We all live on the same earth. The earth give us what we need to survive. Food, clothing, and shelter are the basic necessities of life. Black people do not control, let me not speak in the third person. We do not control resources, okay? You look at all other races, you got five of them, okay? They control resources. The one who controlled the most resources had the most power. So Black people in the wake of systematic oppression that we suffered being disconnected from our motherland, which is the most resourceful continent, not country. That's a big mistake too. Africa is a continent, okay? Composed of 54 countries, okay? And since we have no control of our own motherland as of right now, you know, we have no resources. The great teacher, John Henry Clark, said we are disconnected just like a baby and its umbilical cord to mother. We are disconnected. That's why Pan-Africanism is one of the aspirations of the Black Liberation Movement. This is no secret. We're going to connect back to our motherland just like a baby connected to the umbilical cord of his mother and receiving nourishment. Okay? So what we we determined to do here in Mississippi is to create, to start the conception idea of creating a food-based economy. Well, we want to take a resource that we own and begin to change the minds of Black people to buying this resource from their own people. And that will create a base economy that we own, okay? If people out there can, you know, scale it back. All the intellectualism that they have, you know, all these, you know, it's very fundamental. We don't have to go through all that shit. You know what I'm saying? All that, you know, right. It's very fundamental. Control a resource. You
right.
control it. You grow it. It's your land. You right. grow it. You create the markets. You create the lines of distribution, and you create the commerce. You own and control right. that. We have to do that at some level if we're really talking about creating black power. Otherwise, we're talking about just being appropriated by people who do have power. So that's what we're doing here right. in Mississippi. We're trying to start a food base. No, we're not trying. We're in the process of doing this. You know, and like I said, there will be people that will hear this and be like, why are you saying all that publicly? God damn it, we're gonna sell the food publicly. So when is it not gonna go public? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When
exactly.
is it not gonna be public? We not gonna sell food underground. We not gonna push things. We gonna right. push it to hell. I want trucks on the highway pushing black food
right.
from black farms to black people, mm-hmm. so black people right. can purchase it and take it to their black homes exactly. and feed their black children. This is what I'm talking exactly. about when I'm talking about exactly. black power. And did I mention killing right. any white people in that?
No, of course
okay.
not.
Okay, well, that's the thing, you know. But the thing is also, everybody has a right to liberation. And the root word of liberation is liberty. And if I'm not mistaken, right. any white people listen to this podcast, go back in your history and recall the words of Patrick Henry. And I studied him in the seventh grade. At the beginning of the Revolutionary mm-hmm. War, he pronounced to his countrymen. He said, you either give me liberty, or you give me death. Okay? So that's the point I'm at. I'm not here right. to kill one white person. Okay?
Right.
But you either I'm going to pursue what it is that I know need to be done for my people.
Right.
And if you get in mm-hmm. the way, then you should understand my life is dedicated to the liberation of black people. Okay?
Right.
So that's I leave it there.
And I'm going to say this so that I'm going to change my verbiage as of this, because, you know, me and you have had this conversation. I've had this conversation with my child, my daughter. I want to be very careful about how I speak and what I say. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I won't ever say black folks or white folks, because I am differentiating when I'm talking on purpose. But for the most part, when I say, you know, y'all,
mm-hmm.
and when I say me and when I say us, I can't separate myself either. Mm-hmm. You know, I got three seeds that came from me. They came through me, you know, and just because who they came from doesn't understand who they are, I know who they were, you know. And my seeds came from a black man, a king with royal descent, and they are my life. And
mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to kill nobody either, but I am willing to die for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I take my last breath. I say all the time, you know, I'm willing to die for my mm-hmm. children. I'm willing to die for the melanated skin. I'm willing to do
yeah.
that. But right now, I'm not dying. So I'm going to mm-hmm. fight with everything I got in me, with every bit of determination, all this heart I got and all this love I got for them. I will fight for them until I can fight anymore, scratching and breathing. And if I need to pull it, if you got to bury me, then so be
right.
it. If when I'm dead, I look down and I know that my children are liberated. You feel me? I love them. And I can't separate myself from that. I can't. And I'm not going to. And I'm not going to bash white folks. I'm not here to get it. This isn't about y'all. It ain't never really been about y'all at the end of the day. The only reason that you're involved is because you have to be. Because my fight isn't about them either. You know what I mean? I got period
yeah.
and every magically melanated person that they belong to, you know what I mean? And you already know that about me, and let me calm down, you know how I get about my kids.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up. And I feel every bit of that in my soul. But you know, the ironic thing that came to my consciousness when you were saying that, I always think about the perception. You know, it's kind of like the metaphoric language that's spoken in the Bible when Jesus told the disciple, and the disciple came back to the master. And this is a metaphor, but people, you know, understand it. You know, a lot of people understand it as real. And the disciple came back to Jesus after they heard the murmurs in the crowd. about him. And Jesus said, who do they say that I am? You know, that's why I'm always thinking about what people think. So the people that are listening to this podcast, I'm thinking about what they think. And see, when I just heard you, Kim Snyder, these people here, a white woman, and I know you're a white woman, and you have black children. And I felt that in my soul when you say, hey, look, I will die for my children and their liberation. Now, the thing I want to draw a comparison to right there for the people that's listening, and I hope that this podcast reach a lot of people, both black and white. When a black when a black person state that they're willing to die for something, why is that a threat or something to incite fear like it shouldn't be said? But when I just mentioned Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death, that goes down in the annals of history and still resonate now as a heroic, as a heroic statement. You see what I'm saying? Patrick Alexander said he ready to die for liberation of black people. But Patrick Henry say he ready to die for the liberation of the white colonists against white people. That's heroic. I've been on record to tell people, well, hell, I must be the wrong Patrick. Because, hell, I'm asking for the same damn liberation he asking for. Okay? So I'm the wrong damn Patrick, and I'm the wrong damn color. But no, I'm the right color. I'm the right race. You see what I'm saying? I'm the right race. I never deny that. And see, what people going to have to learn to accept is that black liberation is a determination that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So,
it is going to happen.
So, yeah, that's the thing. And you got to accept that. You know, people got to accept that. Yes. Right.
Exactly. And I think that is a perfect way, honestly, to end this podcast, is to let people know that this is not a talk. This is not just a podcast. This is not just a Facebook page. This is real life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're out in the trenches every day. And, you know, the days I talk to you, you all through your community. You out there every morning, every afternoon. And I hear you talking to him, you know, hold on, Kim Snyder, you know, and you're engaging and you're doing things and you're making things happen. And, you know, I'm here to support that in whatever way. And you know, we already know what people think about me, and I'm cool with that. I understand the pushback and the feedback, and I understand the mistrust. I understand all of that. I want to present the Black Liberation Movement to people. First, that was the first podcast that I wanted to have. I'm so grateful that you came on. I'm so grateful that you've given me this time.
We're grateful you gave us the time.
You're so important. You're so important, and what you're doing is so important. And the people that you deal with and what they're doing is so important. And it's so important for Black folks to understand the importance of it as well too. And I hope that's what gets generated today. I hope there's a dialogue about how important it is, you know, to come together and to see the truth and to understand that when we say in Black liberation, it is solely about Black folks. It ain't about any other race. It ain't about white folks. It ain't about Jewish people. It ain't about, you know, Native American. It is solely about Black folks and their liberation. And that you in the action, you in the verb. You are the verb of Black liberation movement. It's not a hashtag. It's a verb. You know, so, you know, I appreciate you coming on. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your words, your brilliance. You know, as always, I'm bowing my head to you, as always.
Thank you, Kim Snyder. And I want to say this as a party shot. My great teacher, John Henry Clark, said, Black people don't owe the world nothing but an ass whooping. Okay? And I most definitely stand on that. White people who listen, Black people ain't never done a thing to you. I didn't say a Black person. I said Black people have never done a thing to you. And I will say this right here to white people. Clone yourself in the likeness of Kim Snyder. Clone yourself in the likeness of Kim Snyder. It is not my job to repair you and your morals. It's my job to build Black people in the wake of your immorality. So that should not be a threat to you. If you find it in your heart, get up with Kim Snyder. And I think that would be progress for you. And to the black people that's listening, get up with the Black Liberation Movement. Contact me. Contact some of our affiliates and join the Black Liberation Movement. If it's nothing but an economic support that you give, we accept members. We have a membership fee of $25 and a lifetime dedication of $1 a day that you give in support of Black Liberation. We're not asking anybody to give us nothing. We're asking black people to do the responsible thing and build with the most nominal fee that we can possibly ask for, $1 a day. So Kim Snyder, I really appreciate you for having me on, and I'm sure we'll talk in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. And again, I appreciate you and everybody that listened to the podcast and listened to me. If you want to get in, you know, reach out to me or Patrick Alexander. If you can't find him, find me. I'll be more than happy to, you know, have you link up with him. He's on Facebook. He's got Black Liberation Movement on Facebook as well. And he's got a lot of stuff, good things, beautiful things going on. So thank you to everyone who paid attention and who listened and shared their time. Create greatness, and I believe in each and every one of you.